This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
He Who Laughs Last, a play for radio by H. Oldfield Box, adapted from Gerald Kirsch's story, Fairy Gold.
Mr. True was a city clerk. 30 years old, already growing corpulent. Mr. True, it appeared, was not likely to be among the world's successors, but, by hard application, he had won for himself a certain reputation among his cronies. The reputation of being a humorist.
How's that one, eh? All right.
jolly good, True, old boy. Here, tell us another.
All right, here we go. There was a young lady of Ride.
Well, go on, Chewie, go on.
No, Robbie, old man. On second thoughts, not that one. After all, there's a lady present. Well, some might call her a lady, others. Bye.
Yes, Mr. True.
Another round, my dear. 4 bitters, please.
4 bitters, okie-doke.
Oh, and while I think of it, Vi, have you heard the one about the Scotsman?
Which one about the Scotsman, Mr. True?
He was so mean, my pretty one, so flippin' mean, that he wouldn't even exchange a fat penny for a thin one.
Jolly good. Very funny, but hardly original. That's the kind of humorist Mr. True was. Richard True was also a practical joker. Practical jokes of the feeble, obvious, cruel kind that might be expected from a man of his mentality. He set innumerable booby traps. He called out fire brigades to fires that were non-existent. He sent alarming, faked-up telegrams, and so on. Oh, yes. Mr. True was a very funny fellow. Very funny indeed.
Ah, here's Middleton. Greetings, my dear Middy.
Hello, Truey. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Middy.
Sit down, Middy, old fellow. Oh, hang on. Here's a stool for you.
Oh, thanks, Drewy. Thanks.
Oh, sorry, Middy, sorry. There was the stool, and there were you just going to sit on it. Yeah. The temptation too strong to be resisted. No hard feelings, old boy.
No hard feelings. Of course not.
Oh, that's the spirit, Middy. Must keep the party merry, mustn't we, old man, eh?
Yes. That was the kind of idiotic prank that True simply reveled in. But a few minutes later, when Middleton returned the compliment, withdrawing True's stool when he was about to sit down, and raising an even louder gale of merriment, True, though he forced himself to join in the laughter, didn't think it so amusing. Practical jokes of that kind seem funny to men of True's half-crazy mind only if someone else is the victim. Middleton was True's old friend. They lodged within a stone's throw and spent much of their spare time in each other's company. But from that moment, True hated Middleton and swore that when opportunity offered, he would have his revenge on a truly monumental scale. In the meanwhile, however, he was so discreet in his hatred, to outward appearances so unchanged, that Middleton never suspected anything.
Ah, Middy, old man, there you are. Well, half a pint of the usual, ready and waiting for you.
Oh, thanks, Truey. Thanks very much.
There you are. Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's better. Well, Middy, old boy, how's the world?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've a bit of news for you.
Oh? Well, come on, spit it out, old fellow.
Truey, I'm engaged to be married.
What? Well, but who's the girl, Middy?
Louisa. Louisa Wallace.
What? The little waitress at the Pentagon?
Yes, old man.
Good heavens.
Well, what do you mean?
Good heavens. Well, old man, hang it all, a waitress.
And what's wrong with being a waitress? It's an honest living, isn't it?
Well, old man, so is sweeping the streets. Oh, and that reminds me, did you hear the one about the two sparrows?
No, and I don't want to. Oh. What were you saying about street sweepers? Do you mind repeating?
I only said it was an honest living. Now, keep your hair on, old
Never
boy.
Never mind my hair, old man. You look after your own hair. Louisa is the sweetest little girl in all London, and she and I are going to get married, and I won't hear a word against her.
But, old man, I was only speaking for your own good. Hang it all, you're only earning £8. I don't suppose you put a bean away.
Oh, I've £35 in the post office.
£35? And do you really suppose you can set up a house on that?
Well, we shan't set up house, at least not to begin with. I shall stay where I am, in Wheeler's Square. Mrs. Gibson promised to let me have 2 rooms on the top floor. Oh, we'll manage.
But, my dear old man... Now, look, listen to me. I'm older
we'll
than
manage,
you.
I tell you. I'll give up beer and cigarettes if money gets tight.
Heaven help you.
And another thing.
Well?
Well, you know that uncle of mine, the one in Australia?
What? Oh, the fellow who quarrelled with your family umpteen years ago and went out to Wagga Wagga and made a fortune in wool.
That's Sir Johnny.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's never done a thing for any of us, except send a card at Christmas, but... Well, he's never married, and now I'm the only relative living.
So what?
Well, I'm going to write to him, Truey. Tell him I'm getting spliced. Or there's just a chance, you know, that he may send a cheque or something.
What? When he's never shown the slightest interest in your existence? Oh, not a hope. But write away, old boy, if you think it'll do any good.
Oh, it's probably not, but it's worth trying. It can do no harm anyway. Here, I have another bitter, old man.
True was right. No reply came to the letter. Nevertheless, Middleton married his Louisa, and for a while they were happy. But there came a Friday, 3 months later, the Friday before August bank holiday, when True and Middleton met for lunch in a city tea shop.
Aha, here comes the blushing bridegroom. Oh, I haven't seen you for ages. Come on, sit down, my dear old fellow.
Hello, True.
There we are. Now, let's see what's on the menu.
Well, I'll just have a cup of tea and some bread and butter.
What? Not lost your appetite, surely.
I'm not very hungry.
Oh, you can tell that to the Marines. Look here, old man. I'm pretty broke myself, but I could lend you 5 bob for a day or two.
Oh, no, Truey. Thanks all the same. I wouldn't dream of borrowing where I couldn't be sure of repaying.
Oh. Well, I say, is it as bad as that, old man?
We started housekeeping on a capital of £5.10... Rent's a bit higher, and the gas, and it's the very devil how the money goes.
And you've got to eat.
Yes, got to keep body and soul together.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Louis's a wonderful manager. Makes 1 shilling do the work of 5, honestly she does, but, well, £8 is only £8 when all's said and done. And besides, Truey...
Huh? Yes, old man?
Well, the truth is that... That Louis and I half believe that we... Well, that is, that she's... She's going to have a baby.
No.
Why no, in that tone of voice, old man? Don't suppose I've got any regrets or
no,
what?
No, don't put words
because
into
I
my mouth.
Because I don't regret anything.
Stout fellow.
All the same, I'm not going to sit back and do nothing about it. I'm darned if I am.
So, you're going to look for another job? That's the idea.
No, not yet, anyway. But I am going to ask for a rise in my present one... I'm going to see my boss, old Mawson, this very afternoon, the moment he returns from lunch.
Come in. Come in.
Mr. Mawson?
It's you, Middleton. Well?
I wondered, sir, if I might speak to you for a moment.
Well, what is it? Shut the door and come in. Well?
Mr. Mawson, I hope you're satisfied with my work here.
You do your work, Middleton, and are paid for it.
Yes, sir, but, well, I'm a married man.
Married?
Now,
how long have you been married?
Well, since Easter, sir.
But if I remember rightly, your salary is £8 a week, isn't it?
Yes, sir, and that's why
how
I...
How could you think of getting married on £8? Your wife has money of her own?
Oh, no, sir, none. And so I hope that...
Well, speak out.
Well, that you might see your way to raising my salary a little.
Middleton, you've been here with Colton Utilities quite a time, I believe.
Yes, sir, 7 years, sir.
And your salary has been increased regularly according to our system of annual increments.
Yes.
And you are now how old?
26.
Only 26? Middleton, I'm disappointed in you, getting married at your age with all the world before you. What if there should be any little ones?
Well, I'm afraid... I hope there is going to be.
Just as I said. Well, really, do you realize, Middleton, that you have prejudiced your entire career?
But, sir...
A young man in a position of trust is unsettled by family responsibilities.
Your work,
I believe, is in the mail order department.
Oh, yes, sir.
Checks and postal orders to the value of hundreds pass through your hands every day.
Yes.
Very well. You see what I mean?
But
Middleton, think of the temptation.
Mr. Mawsley, if you think I'm not to be trusted just because I'm married...
I'm glad you've made a clean breast of it, but it's a great pity. If Lord Herring, the owner of this firm, knew about your marriage, I don't know what he'd say. His lordship is most particular that the private lives of his employees should be beyond reproach. Most particular.
But Mr. Mawsley, excuse me, I wasn't making a clean breast of anything. I only thought that as I've been with you so long, you might...
Out of the question, not within my power even if I wanted to. Middleton, you should have controlled yourself. Bless me, I was 40 before I even thought of marriage and I... Yes, what is it?
Mr. Mawson, sir, Mrs. Mawson's here to see you.
Mrs. Mawson, ask Mrs. Mawson if she wouldn't mind waiting just a moment.
Very good, Mr. Mawson.
Yes. Well, Middleton, I think that's all. You'd better get back to your work.
Yes, sir.
Just one thing more.
Yes, sir?
I have heard of young men in your position getting themselves into serious trouble, running up debts they can't pay and so on. I don't say you're as foolish as that, but I give you fair warning. Anything of that sort, and out you go at a moment's notice. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Very well. Now get along. Oh, and on your way, tell Mrs. Mawson I'm disengaged. Ask her if she'll kindly step in. There you are, Emmeline. So sorry. I was just going to... come along in, my dear. Shut the door behind you, Middleton.
40 before you married, were you, Mr. Mawson? And they married that battleship. Mawson, you should have had more sense. Mawson, you should have controlled yourself.
Was the young lady you viewed, whose manners were terribly rude, she went for it. Oh, hello, Postons, old man. Have you heard the one about the lady of Bude?
Not today, Mr. True, if you please. I'm too busy. You going to the filing room by any chance?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I am.
Oh, good. In that case, you can save me a journey. Slip this letter in the general file, will you, under Pismar Gent Inst?
Pleasure, old boy, pleasure.
Good fellow. Thanks.
Whose manners were terribly rude. Here we are, first on the left hand, the filing room. Now, let me see. Harmon, H. And Hal Harmon Company. There we are. In you go, little fellow. There. And now old Postance's letter. Pismar Gen Inst. Pismar, here we are. Pismar and Company Solicitors, Threadneedle Street, and in you go. No, you don't. Wait a minute. Well, I'll be damned. It's two sheets of Pismar's paper and the second blank, except for the printed heading. Fancy Pismar slipping up like that. One of the best-known firms of solicitors in all London. Ooh, truly, my lad. If you weren't an honest fellow, what uses, what wonderful uses you might make of this little bit of paper. But, old man, since you are honest, you'd better throw it into the waste paper basket and forget all about it. No. I'm damned if I'll do it. Keep it, Truey. You never know. It might come in handy for a practical joke, for instance. Suppose, for example, I were to type myself a letter as from Pismar's informing me that I'd inherited a fortune. Guess I could borrow a tenner or two on the strength of such a letter as that from Pismar's. No, better not. Lady you viewed, whose manners were terribly rude, she went for a... I've got it. Middy. Middy. Why, it's the very chance I've been waiting for. Why didn't I think of it before? Rich uncle in Australia? Uncle dead. Left him his entire estate. I could draft a letter tonight. Must make the wording absolutely convincing. And tomorrow, Saturday morning, I could type it and send it to him express. Then he'd have it by lunchtime. And by then, Pismire's office would be closed. Closed till Tuesday morning, since Monday's a bank holiday. Until Tuesday, Middy and his dear little Louis would live in a fool's paradise. 3 days of joy and then a crushing blow when they found out it was all a hoax. Oh, truly, my boy, it's brilliant. The greatest practical joke ever. And they'd never be able to trace it to me, never. Yes, I will do it. By heaven, I will. Truly, my boy, what fun you're going to have.
Ted, oh, Ted, darling.
Hold it, Louis. Well, sweetheart, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm fine. I felt a little sick after breakfast, but it soon passed off. Mrs. Gibson said it was always the same with her when her babies were on the way. Sit down, darling, and I'll get the lunch ready.
Oh, no, Louis, let me do it.
Oh, goodness, no, I'm not an invalid. Now, you sit quietly like a good boy.
Okay, Louis.
Oh, Ted, while I think of it, did you see Mr. Mawson about that rise?
Yes, Louis. As a matter of fact, I saw him yesterday afternoon.
Ted, why didn't you tell me?
Because it was no good.
Oh, Ted.
So I thought, well, I thought I'd wait until you happened to mention it, Louis.
What did he say, Ted?
Oh, a lot of nonsense. It's not worth repeating.
But, Teddykins, I want to know.
Oh, very well, if you will have it. He said I'd prejudiced my entire career and I had no right to get married at all and so on.
Oh, Teddykins, what cheek. It's no business of his.
Well, that's what I told him. Not exactly in those words, of course.
And then?
Well, then his wife blew in. A great hulk of a woman, and he collapsed like a balloon. Louis, you should have seen it.
Oh, I wish I had, Teddy.
Scared stiff of her, he is. Absolutely stiff. And when she glared at him...
Middleton, are you there, Mr. Middleton?
Yes, Mrs. Gibson. Come in.
It's an express letter, Mr. Middleton. Come for you this very minute.
Express? Oh, thank you, Mrs. Gibson.
What in the world? What is it, Ted?
Well, see.
Well?
Dear sir, we're authorized to inform you that... What? Oh, no! It's impossible! Oh, good heavens.
Ted, Ted, what is it, darling? You're as pale as a ghost.
Oh, I hope it's not bad news, Mr. Middleton.
Bad news?
Oh, what is it, Ted?
It's from Pismire's, Louis, the biggest solicitors in the city. And
well...
Louis, you better sit down for this or you won't be able to bear it. Louis, do you remember my Uncle Joe in Australia?
The rich one. The one who didn't even send us a wedding present. Yes, of course I do.
Well, he's dead.
What?
And he's left me his entire fortune. £76,000.
Well, I never...
76? Oh, Ted. Oh, no. Oh, it's too good to be true. I can't believe it.
Oh, there, dearie. Shh, there. Oh, it's the shock of it, Mr. Middleton, isn't it?
I can't believe it. I just can't. Oh,
darling, here it is in black and white. And Pismire's printed notepaper and signed by Mr. Pismire himself. It says that my uncle, Mr. Joseph Hugh Middleton of Wagga Wagga, New South Wales, is dead. And that I'm his sole beneficiary and he's left me... £76,180. And Mr. Pismire wants me to call and see him at my earliest convenience. Well, here. Read it for yourself, Louis. Here.
76. Oh, Ted.
Well, if it ain't just like a fairy tale. Oh, my. Oh, but if anybody deserves it, it's you, Mr. Middleton.
Thank you, Mrs. Gibson.
But 76,000? Oh, it's too much. There must be a mistake.
Oh, it does seem impossible, doesn't it? And yet, I'll tell you what, Louis. I'll telephone and confirm. Stay with Mrs. Gibson while I run to a telephone box.
But, Ted, it's Saturday afternoon. The office will be closed.
Then I'll phone Mr. Pismarge's private address. No, wait here, sweetheart. I shan't be a minute. Hello? Hello. Is that Maidenhead 5999?
Yes, speaking.
Is that Mr. Pismar's house? Mr. Charles Pismar of Pismar & Co. Solicitors?
Yes.
Is that Mr. Pismar?
No, sir. Mr. Pismar is out of town. Can I take a message?
Well, it's like this. I've received a letter from Mr. Pismar asking me to get in touch with him.
Matter of business, sir?
Yes, a legacy. 76,000. My uncle, Mr. Joseph Middleton of Wagga Wagga, New South Wales. I just wanted to make certain that there was no mistake. You see,
Excuse me, sir. Did I understand you to say that Mr. Charles Pismar has already written you a letter?
Yes, it's here, in my hand.
Then you may rest assured that everything is in order. Mr. Pismar returns on Tuesday. Is there any message, sir?
Well, only that Mr. Middleton, Mr. Edward Middleton, rang, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye. 76,000. A mere 76,000. Hello, hello, Louis, my dear. It's all right.
Oh, Ted.
There, ducky, what did I say?
Mr. Pismar's away for the weekend, but his clerk, or whoever it was who answered the phone, said that I could be quite sure of it.
Oh, Ted.
So,
that's the way, Mrs. Middleton. You just hugged the life out of him. Oh, my, no wonder you're pleased.
Oh, Louis, darling.
Darling.
Oh. Well, Louis, this calls for a celebration.
Celebration? Oh, I should think so.
Oh, well, what would you like to do? Pictures?
Oh, no, Ted, not the pictures. I just couldn't sit still.
Well, what shall it be?
Oh, I'd like to go to a restaurant, Ted, and eat the most enormous meal I've ever had in my life.
Louis, that's a great idea. Put on your hat, sweetheart, and we'll get moving. Well, Louis... Are you feeling better?
Oh, I should say so.
Kidney soup, steak and onions, cream trifle.
Yes.
One thing about being hungry, I've never enjoyed a meal so much in all my life.
Oh, me too. Oh, and that leaves us with, let me see, exactly 7 and 6 pence until next payday.
Ted.
It's darn funny, Louis, when you come to think of it. Here I am, just come into a fortune... Well, all we've got in the world is 3 half-crowns. Well, it's 2:30 and the whole weekend before us. What do we do now?
Oh, let's go home, Teddykins, and have a lie down. After the excitement and all that food, I could do with a shut-eye.
Oh, so could I, by Jove. Oh, you know, I can hardly keep awake. Oh, come on, Louis, dear. Huh? Hello, Ted? Yes, who's there?
It's me, Middy, your old friend, True.
Oh, True. Hello, I'll have a jiffy, Truey. Go into the sitting room and make yourself comfortable. Louis and I have just been having a bit of a snooze. Chop him, eh?
Okey-doke. Take your time, old fellow.
Louis? Louis! Wake up, sweetheart.
Oh, what? Oh, what is it, Ted? Oh, I was having such a lovely dream. Oh, but it wasn't a dream, was it? It really happened. We really are rich.
Yes, Louis, we really are. Louis, True's here.
Oh, True. Ted, why can't he stay away?
But, Louis...
Well, you know I don't like him. I've never trusted him somehow. And I've never forgiven him for what he did when he was best man at our wedding.
What? Oh, you mean squirting that water into my eye out of the artificial flower he had in his buttonhole?
Yes, just like a silly schoolboy.
Oh, come, darling. It didn't mean any harm. Look, don't be hard on poor old Truey. I'll go along and you follow when you've tidied your hair. Hmm?
Oh, very well. But I don't like him. Honestly, I don't. Oh. All the same, I'd like to see his face when he hears about this. Oh, Teddykins, won't he be jealous?
Hello, Truey. Sorry to catch you waiting.
That's all right, old man. No need to apologize. Oh, hello, Louis. Hope I'm not intruding.
Oh, of course not. Don't be an idiot. Louis, shall we tell him?
Of course, Ted. Why not?
Well, tell me what. Anything happened, Middy, old boy?
Happened? I should say it has.
His rich uncle in New South Wales has died.
And left me 76,000, Truey, old boy. 76?
Oh, no, it's impossible.
Well, here's the letter, old boy.
Huh? What? Let's have a look.
Yeah. Huh?
Well, I'm damned. Sole beneficiary, £76,180.
Uh-huh.
Good grief. Ah, Middy, old boy. Well, there might be some mistake.
But Truey's from Pismar's.
Well, all the same, I checked.
And then, not being altogether a fool, I invested fourpence in a telephone call to make sure.
Oh?
I rang Mr. Pismar's private address, and the chap who answered said I'd no need to worry, everything's okay.
Oh, well, I'm damned. Oh, well, congratulations, old man. I'm delighted.
Oh, thanks, Truey.
Lucky devil. Wish I had an uncle in Australia.
Never mind, though.
I'll tell you what, Middy. You must treat me to a drink. The pubs are open. How about it?
Well, truly, the fact is I haven't got any money.
No money? Oh, that's rich. 76,000 smackers, Lou, and he says he hasn't got any money.
I mean in ready cash. You see, things have been a bit tight lately.
But by heavens, you've got a checkbook, haven't you? Well, the banks are shut, of course, but, well, you could find someone to apply to.
But truly, I haven't a penny in my account.
But, heavens, Minnie, what does that matter? You're going to this, what's his name, Mr. Pismire, first thing on Tuesday, I suppose?
Oh, yes.
Very well. Just tell him how you're fixed. He'll advance you anything within reason. Come on, don't be silly, old man. Cash a small check.
What do you think, Louis?
Well, I don't really see the harm. Ask Mrs. Gibson, Teddykins. I'm sure she won't mind if she's got any handy.
Go on, Middy. After all, old man, it is a holiday weekend.
We'll have to wait until she comes back.
Oh, yes, so we will.
Back from where, old man?
From the pub, the Hero of Wellington. Every Saturday at 6:30 to the minute, she goes round to the Hero for a glass of stout.
Does she? And what's wrong, then, with going round after her?
Oh,
but don't you see, Nadine, don't you see? By the time we get there, she'll have told the story of your good fortune to the entire company. She's bound to. And if she can't oblige you, old man, somebody else will.
Same again, Jackie, old boy.
Same again, Joe. Nora, my dear, we're out of gin. Fetch a couple of bottles from the back, will you?
Two more bottles of gin. Right-o, Jack.
Shan't keep you a moment, Joe. Yes. Well, as I was saying, this little bloke comes up to me as bold as brass.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Duck.
Ah, good evening, Mrs. Gibson. And punctual to the minute, I see. Nice hot weather we're having.
Oh, I should say.
The usual?
Oh, yes, please, Mr. Duck. Nice glass of stout. Oh, but I'll have a tot of rum in it this evening, seeing that it's a special occasion.
Special, Mrs. Gibson?
Oh, indeed it is, Mr. Jakes. What do you think, Mr. Duck? I've a young couple in my house, two rooms on the top floor, married last Easter. No, pretty hard put to it, they've been to money. But today, what do you think?
Ask me another.
Well, today, just after he'd come back from the city, a letter arrives, express, from a big firm of solicitors, to say that his uncle had died in Australia and left him 76,000 pounds.
76,000? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a packet and all.
Oh, well, Mr. Jakes, they deserve it. If anyone deserves it, they do. Honest as daylight, both of them. Rather starve than owe a penny and... Oh, why, Mr. Duck, here they are themselves, just coming in. Oh, and the fellow with them is Mr. True.
Well, here we are, Middy, old fellow. Oh, hello, Mrs. Gibson. We were just looking for you, weren't we, Middy?
Yes, Mrs. Gibson. As a matter of fact, I was. You see...
Just a minute, sir. I've been telling these gentlemen about your little surprise. And now let me introduce. Gentlemen, meet Mr. and Mrs. Middleton and Mr. True.
Very pleased, I'm sure. Jack Duck,
landlord of the Hero, at your service.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Duck?
Yeah, and I'm Joe Jakes, turf commission agent. Anytime you'd like a little flatter, sir, you can always rely on old Joe.
How do you do?
Had a bit of luck, I'm told, Mr. Middleton.
Well, yes, I have, rather.
Rather? Well, that's putting it mildly. £76,000, ain't it?
Yes, Mr. Jakes.
Oh, and you deserve it.
Oh, but the joke's this, Mrs. Gibson. Here's my old friend, Middy, with 76,000 smackers, all wrapped up and waiting for him as soon as he can get to the solicitor's office. But in the meanwhile, believe it or not, he's only got 7 and 6 pence in his pockets.
I was wondering, Mrs. Gibson, if you'd mind cashing a cheque for me.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Middleton. You know I would if I could, but I haven't above a pound or two in the house.
In that case, ma'am, perhaps you'll allow me to oblige the gentleman. I'm only too happy. How much, Mr. Middleton? £10? 10? 20? 30?
Well, Mr. Ducky, if you wouldn't mind cashing me a fiver...
A fiver? Oh, Biddy, our boy, don't be silly. Make it 20 quid and enjoy yourself.
Come along, sir. What's it to be?
Well, if you're quite sure that £20 wouldn't inconvenience you...
Not in the least. I'm glad to clear the till a bit. And your cheque's as good as money, ain't it?
Well, Mr. Middleton, seeing that you're a rich man, what about a little bet?
Well, Mr. Jakes, I don't know.
Well, there's 3 race meetings on Monday, sir. Well, look, here's the evening paper. All the probables. Just give him a name. No need to worry about the money now. We'll settle up next week sometime. You'll always find me here, Mr. Middleton, when the bar's open.
What do you say, Louis?
Me? Well, I don't know, I'm sure. Do as you like, Ted.
That's the way. You can always trust bookmaker Joe, lady.
What'll I back, Louis?
Don't ask me. I don't know the... Achoo.
Bless you.
Oh, dear. Don't tell me I'm going to get a cold. Hey.
I say, Louis, that's a coincidence. There's a horse called Big Sneeze running on Monday in the 3:30 at Craddock Park.
No, really?
Yes. Mr. Jakes, I'll back it. £10 to win.
£10? Oh, Teddy.
Rank outsider. Hasn't a chance, you know.
Never mind, I'll chance it.
Okay, well, it's on. Down the drain, but what's a tenner to a bloke in your trousers? Another drink, Mrs. Middleton?
No, thanks, Mr. Jakes.
Mr. Middleton?
No, thanks.
Yeah, well, I think I will. Well, so long, and good luck to you.
So long, Mr. Jakes.
Oh, Ted, what did you want to do that for?
But, Louis, I asked you first.
£10, Ted, and it hasn't a chance, he said. Well, suppose that there is a mistake about that money.
But, Louis, I got it confirmed, didn't I?
Sorry. Only... I don't know.
Only what?
I still can't believe it somehow. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being silly.
Oh, that's all right, darling. Look, let's get away, shall we?
Oh, yes, let's. What we need is to... Well, sort ourselves out.
Of course. A quiet supper somewhere.
I break it up, you two.
Oh, hello, Tree. We've just backed a horse.
And we're just going.
Going? Oh, stuff and nonsense. The night's young, isn't it? I'll tell you what, Middy. If you'll lend me a couple of pounds, I'll buy you another drink.
Oh, you're welcome to the couple of pounds. Here you are, old man. Huh?
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much, Middy.
But to tell the truth, that letter's come as a... As a bit of a stunner, and well, we want to...
To get away on your own, is I? Simmer down. Sleep it off. Oh, yes, of course. You know, pal Chewy understands. Well, you know, I think I'll stay out a few more, and thanks for the loan, old man.
Oh, that's all right.
I'll blow in tomorrow sometime if you're quite sure I shan't be de-dropped.
Oh, no. No, of course not. Come along, darling. So long, Chewy.
Cheerio, Middy. Sweet dreams. Good night, Louis.
Good night, Mr. True.
Sweet dreams. Yes, I dare say, tonight. But wait till Tuesday comes, Middy, old boy. Just you wait.
Louis? Louis, are you awake?
Yes, Ted. I can't sleep somehow.
Nor can I. Think of it, Louis. 76,000. Why, at 5%, that's £75 a week for life.
Is it? Oh, is it really? Oh, Teddy, I do hope it's all right.
Oh, Louis, there you go again.
I'm sorry, Ted, but, well, there's that check you cashed and the £10 you put on that horse.
Oh, I wish we'd waited just till we'd seen Mr. Pismire.
Oh, Louis, don't be silly. Oh,
yes, it is silly, isn't it? I oughtn't to worry, I know.
Well, I'm not worried. It's not that that's keeping me awake. It's just that I'm so excited. Louis, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow we'll hit the high spots. Dinner in the West End and nightclubs, and we'll have the time of our lives.
Oh, Teddykins.
There's a joint called the Cruick Club. A chap in the city told me about it. We'll try that.
Oh, yes, Teddy, let's.
And on Tuesday morning, after we've seen Pismar, I'll take you shopping. Piccadilly, Bond Street.
Oh, but Teddykins, you have to be back at work on Tuesday.
What? Me go back to a job like that? Not on your life. I've finished with Mr. Mawson and his precious Colton utilities. I shan't need their mouldy 8 quid a week from now on.
No, I suppose not.
Never again, thank heavens. Louis?
Yes?
Will you mind very much if I ask Truey to come with us to the Cruick Club tomorrow?
Oh, Ted, why on earth?
Well, he's at a loose end, and I think in this circumstance we ought to give him a bit of fun.
Oh, but he's...
Well, poor old Truey's not as lucky as I am. He hasn't got 76,000. He hasn't got you either.
Oh, Teddy, what nice things you say. All right, Ted, bring him along if you really want to.
Oh, thanks, darling.
This way, madame. This way, gentlemen. Three, sir?
Yes, three.
Waiter, Tony, a table for three, the best we've got, eh?
Mais certainement, a very nice table here in this recess, monsieur. Will suit, yes?
Oh, yes, very nicely, thanks.
Madame, be seated. Wine, sir, champagne for madame, whiskey for monsieur.
Oh, what do you fancy, Louis?
Me, Teddy? Oh, I think I'll have champagne.
What about you, Truey?
Champagne for me, Mitty, old boy. Champagne every time.
Champagne? Certainly, sir. Here is your wine list. Which would you prefer?
A bottle of number 22, I think. Yes, 22.
Number 22? Merci, monsieur. Number 22.
Oh, I say, Mitty, old boy. Oh, look at that girl, the one over there. Look, selling cigars and fags. Talk about scanties. Pretty hot.
Out hard, Truey. Ladies present, you know. Well, Louis, what do you think of the Cruick Club?
Oh, Teddykins, it's lovely.
Your champagne, monsieur. £5.05, please.
What? I say, that's a bit steep.
Oh, no, monsieur. Very cheap. Very good champagne. Thank you, sir. £5.10. It keeps the change, eh? Merci, monsieur.
Well, there's nothing like taking these for granted, is there, Louis? Well, who cares? It's only for a night.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
Your friend is alone, I see. If he'd care to dance, there's a young lady here who'd very much like to dance with him.
Well, Truey, how about it?
Well, anything to oblige a lady, you know. Oh, I say, Mitty, not a bad piece, is she? Look at it. Ooh, ash blonde, too. Here we go. Well, good evening, mademoiselle. Let's take the floor, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's got old Truey off.
Yes, certainly has. Oh, Ted, do look. Look at him pretending to dance.
Yes.
With all his faults, we can't help laughing sometimes.
That's the one thing about Truey. He does make you laugh. I say, great heavens.
What's the matter, Ted?
Louis, you see that bald-headed middle-aged bloke just coming in? There with the skinny girl in the white dress?
Yes. Oh, Teddy, what a horrible-looking man.
Shh, not so loud. That's my boss, Mr. Mawson.
Mr. Mawson?
Yes, and... Oh, crumbs. It's worse and worse. The waiter's taken him into the very next alcove. Only a curtain between us. Now sit back, Louis, or he'll see us.
Teddy,
shh, for heaven's sake. Now listen.
Voila, monsieur, your usual table.
Well, thanks, Tony, and, well, peach blossom, my poppet, what will you drink?
Brandy, if you please, darling. Very old liqueur.
Old liqueur brandy it shall be, my pet. Tony, a bottle of very old liqueur brandy.
Very good, monsieur.
Well, I'll be darned. Peach blossom, my pet.
My poppet. Did you hear him, Louis?
Yes, Teddykins, I did.
A foreign dame who swigs brandy. That, after all his preaching. Lord Herring and all the rest of it. How? Well, what have I got to be frightened about? I've done with Mr. Mawson, haven't I? Louis, I'm going to pull the curtain aside and give the old hypocrite the shock of his life.
Oh, no, Ted, no.
I certainly am. Here goes. Excuse me, sir. Pardon the intrusion, but could you oblige me with a match?
A match? Oh, with pleasure. Oh, good heavens.
Mr. Mawson. Well, what a delightful surprise. Fancy seeing you here.
Mawson? Mawson? But, Monsieur...
This gentleman is labouring under a delusion, my dear. My name, sir, is Wood.
Wood? Oh, I beg your pardon. You know, I thought for a moment you were another gentleman I know. Mr. Mawson. I'm ever so sorry. Your matches, sir. Many thanks.
Not at all.
Well, Louis, what do you think of that, eh?
Teddykins, you were not.
Wasn't it marvellous? I got him on edge with a vengeance, and serve him right. Did you notice how white he went?
Yes, Ted, I did.
I bet he's simply aching to have a private word with me. I tell you what, Louis, I'll cut along to the cloakroom and wash my hands. And I bet you anything he follows me, anything you like.
Middleton?
Oh, hello, Mr. Mawson.
Middleton?
Yes, Mr. Mawson?
I was very surprised at meeting you in such a place as this, Sir Berry.
Yes, I bet you were. But I bet you weren't half as surprised as I was at meeting you.
It is necessary, Middleton, in certain circumstances, to investigate, to see for oneself certain aspects of... you understand, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, Mr. Mawson, perfectly. As soon as I saw you, I knew Lord Herring must have sent you to look around, knowing how anxious he is that the private lives of all his employees should be above reproach. Miss Peach Blossom, I suppose, is a friend of the family, showing you round like a guide, Mrs. Mawson, I take it, is indisposed.
Well, Middleton, the fact is...
don't worry, Mr. Mawson. I'll keep your little secret.
As between men of the world, eh, Middleton?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Peach Blossom. Very sweet. Very sweet indeed.
And the charming little lady with you?
Is my wife, Mr. Mawson. We are here to celebrate. You see, I've had a stroke of luck.
Oh, I'm delighted to hear it.
Yes, this letter bringing the good news arrived yesterday afternoon. Here, read it, Mr. Mawson. 76,000 from an uncle of mine who's just died in Australia.
76,000? Bless my soul. So it is. Aunt Pismire's the solicitor, I see. Yes, there's no doubt about it. My dear Middleton, congratulations. This certainly justifies a little celebration.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Just once in a while, eh? By the way, Middleton, don't call me Mawson. Just call me Wood.
Wood. Righto, Mr. Mawson. Sorry, I mean... Wood.
There are reasons, but I can't explain now. We'll have a little talk about it later on at the office, eh?
Oh, rather. Any time you like.
And now I must get back. Remember, Middleton, Wood, and I'm a glass...
Oh, I understand, Wood, old fellow. Wood. Wood, indeed. This is delicious. I must go back and tell Louis how she'll laugh.
Tell me, Teddykins, what did he say?
Say? Louis, it's absolutely heavenly. I'm to call him Wood.
Really? Oh, Ted.
Mr. Wood, glass manufacturer. Oh, here's old Truy, I must tell him. Well, Truy,
How goes it with the lady friend, huh?
Charming old man. Oh, a real smasher. But she's told me she's thirsty, and you know how I place for cash. Mind if I bring her along here?
Oh, do, Truey. The more the merrier.
Makes a force of old man, eh? Oh, I say, Middy, what do you think? She's just been telling me that her grandfather was a bishop.
Was he? So was mine, I don't think. But go along, Truey, and fetch her over. I've got a story that'll give you the biggest laugh you've ever had. Now, hurry up, old Truey, old man. I can hardly wait to tell you.
Terrikins, darling. Oh, that was nice, wasn't it?
I should say so. You know, I've never enjoyed myself so much in my whole life. And fancy meeting my old pal, Wood.
Yes, just fancy. Oh, but it's nice to be back in bed, all the same. What's the time?
Half past four. Won't need any rocking to sleep tonight, do you?
A little sleep already.
So am I.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, darling. I say, Terrikins, what will we do tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Why is tomorrow now?
Oh, so it is. What will we do today, then?
I'll sleep all the morning, I guess. Then in the afternoon, well, it's bank holiday. What about going to Hampstead Heath?
Oh, lovely. Just what I wanted you to say.
And then at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, we'll both go to Mr. Pismire's office together. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to see Mr. Pismire.
Have you an appointment?
No, but it's rather an urgent matter. Mr. Pismire asked me to call.
Well, I'm Mr. Pismire's managing clerk. Anything I can do?
Well, it's about a legacy. Rather a big legacy.
Oh, come along this way into my office. Sit down, please. Well, Mr.
Middleton. Edgar Hugh Middleton.
Well?
Mr. Pismire wrote me a letter. He wanted me as soon as possible about the will of my uncle, Mr. Joseph Hugh Middleton of Wagga Wagga, New South Wales. My uncle made me his sole beneficiary. 76,000.
What? Middleton, did you say your name was?
Yes, sir.
Would you mind showing me the letter?
Oh, certainly. Here it is. Express.
Express? Oh, astonishing. Extraordinary. That letter was never sent from this office, Mr. Middleton.
Not sent? Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, Ted.
This is not one of our envelopes, and that is not Mr. Pismire's signature.
But you're wrong. You're lying. It was sent. Here's the letter to prove it.
Oh, Mr. Pismire, good morning. Very glad to see you, sir. A most extraordinary thing.
Oh, what is it, Napper?
Mr. Pismire, look at this letter.
See. E.H. Middleton, Esquire, 3 Wheelers Court. Children's father's beneficiary on the will of your late uncle. 76,000. What? Good heavens. This is very strange. Are you Mr. Middleton?
Yes, sir.
Then, Mr. Middleton, I'm afraid you've been the victim of a joke.
A joke? A joke?
I know nothing whatsoever about this. Nothing whatever. This letter was never typed on one of our typewriters. And that, most certainly, is not my signature.
Do you mean to tell me, then, that this letter is not worth the paper it's written on?
I do. It has no value whatsoever.
Then, but Mr. Pismire, what am I to do? You see...
Well, I can't help you, I'm afraid. I would if I could, but I can't.
Well, Louis... What are we going to do now?
Teddy.
I'll never be able to meet that check. You know what happens to people who cash checks when they haven't any money to meet them?
Teddykins.
And there is Mr. Mawson to reckon with. He'll never forgive me. Not after what happened on Sunday night at the Cruet Club. Oh, I'm sunk. Absolutely sunk. Who could have played a trick like that on me?
What about your friend, Dick True?
True? Oh, no, Louis. Sure, he likes his little joke, but, well, he wouldn't do a thing like that.
Oh, why wouldn't he? Isn't he always sending false telegrams and things like that?
Oh, but, Louis, how could it be old Truey? I mean, he borrowed £2 from me on the strength of it, and I spent pounds on him in that nightclub. Why, it would be like stealing.
Of course, but he'd think it all the funnier for that. Oh, I know his kind.
Oh, if it was him, Louis, if I find out, and if it was, I'll murder the swine.
Oh, Ted.
I swear I will. But in the meantime, what are we going to do about that cheque?
Perhaps if you see the bank manager, he'll agree to meet it and let you pay it off by degrees.
Well, not without making inquiries about me at the office, and then I'll be out sure enough. Well, not out already. Oh, no, Louis. I'm right in the soup.
Well, you might see that Mr. Duck who cashed the cheque for you. Oh, he seems a nice sort of man. And if we told him the whole story and promised faithfully to refund it at so much a week.
Well, it's worth trying. If he hasn't paid it in already.
Tell you what, Ted. I'll go along to the Hero and see him myself. And you go to the office and settle things with Mr. Mawson as best you can.
But, Louis, what shall I say to Mr. Mawson about that phony fortune,
Don't say anything. Play for time a bit.
Well, he'll be after me, Louis, the instant I show up.
Well, if he is, tell him that you're waiting for news or something.
Well, okay. In for a penny, in for a pound. Well, we'd better be moving. We'll meet here outside the door at 1:30. Good morning, Mr. Smythe.
Hello. And where have you been, Middleton? Mr. Mawson wants to see you. He's been asking for you every 10 minutes since 9:30.
Tell me, was he...
He's in a rotten temper, if that's what you want to know.
Oh.
He's been biting everybody's head off. Oh. If you can't think of something really good by way of excuse, Middleton, I'm afraid you're for it.
Oh.
Pity. You're the best assistant clerk I've got. Well, can't be helped. We'd better cut along and get it over.
Okay, Mr. Smythe. Hell. Why the dickens should I be afraid of him? I've got a pull on him, haven't I? Little Miss Peach Blossom. Oh, humility won't do. Look, brazen it out, Middy. Brazen it out. There. Well, here goes.
Come in. Oh, Middleton. Good morning.
Good morning, Wood.
Middleton, close the door.
Huh? But, Mr. Mawson, you did tell me to call you Mr. Wood at the Mustard Club.
Sit down. Middleton, I thought we'd agreed that the office is the office and one's private affairs quite another thing.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And not a word to Lord Herring, not a word.
Quite so. How is your charming wife today, Middleton?
Oh, fine, thank you. How's yours? I had the pleasure of seeing Mrs. Mawson last Friday, you remember, when I came
here
and
asked
you...
Oh, yes, so you did.
And Miss Peach Blossom, how is she?
Come, Middleton, come. But I know I can rely on your discretion.
Yes.
You have, I suppose, spent the morning arranging your affairs.
Well, in a way, yes.
76,000. What a lucky fellow you are. Everything in order?
Well, not quite in order yet.
Oh, no, of course. These things require time. I'm glad to see you're taking your good fortune with such a level head. Tell me, what are your plans? It'll hardly be worth your while to stay with us now, surely.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I'm cut out to be a gentleman of leisure. I'd rather hope to go on here just as usual.
Ah, that's the right attitude. Well, Middleton, if you're really prepared to stay with us, I think I can put you in the way of something more suitable to your changed circumstances. Lord Herring has decided to open a branch office in Sydney, New South Wales. He has asked me to select a reliable man from this office to take charge of it. And your record being what it is, well, Middleton, what do you say?
Branch office? New South Wales, Mr. Mawson?
Ah, I knew the coincidence would astonish you. Salary commences at $800 a year plus commission. Of course, in your happy position, the money is a secondary consideration. But in a year or two, if you really gave your attention to the work, you'd be earning $2,000 or $3,000. Well, Middleton, would you like to try it?
Well,
Well?
Lord Oh, well, thank you, sir.
Yes.
Manager, New South Wales. 800 a year plus. If only Louis can hold Mr. Duck off just for a month. If only she can do that, then we'll be safe. If only she can do that.
Excuse me.
Yes, miss.
You're Mrs. Duck, aren't you?
Yes, I'm Mrs. Duck.
I wondered if I might have a word with Mr. Duck.
No, miss, you can't. Mr. Duck's out. He's gone to the bank.
Will he be back soon, do you think?
Oh, that I can't say. Any message?
Well, Mrs. Duck, it's rather a confidential matter. You see...
Double brandy, please, Nora.
Double brandy, Joe. Soda?
Just a splash, me dear. Well, if it ain't Mrs. Middleton. Looking for me, I suppose. £10 to win big sneeze, eh?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Oh, Mr. Jakes, I'm afraid I'm...
Oh, that's all right, lady. Now, don't you worry yourself about old Joe Jakes. Joe ain't a fool. Joe knows how to cover himself. What do you think, Nora? Lady's husband put £10 on big sneeze, and it romped home at 100 to 1. £1,000. Congratulations, lady. Here, I say, you feeling all right?
I feel just a little faint.
£1,000? Good heavens, Louis. I'll hardly ever even look to see. I've forgotten all about it.
So did I, Ted. Absolutely. Oh, Teddykins, we're saved. You've got this job in Australia, and we're going to be rich after all. Oh, Ted, there's no doubt about it this time, is there?
No, darling, not this time.
Oh, I say, Teddykins, look. Look who's coming along the pavement towards us.
Good heavens, it's True, returning from his lunch.
Leave this to me, Teddy. Just you follow my lead. Why, Mr. True? Good morning, Mr. True.
Oh, hello, hello, friends. See the lawyer?
Oh, yes. We spent half the morning with him, didn't we, Ted?
Oh, yes. Yes, rather.
And everything all right?
Well, everything.
Couldn't be better, Truey, old man.
We talked to Mr. Charles Pismire himself.
You did?
Yes, Mr. True. Oh, he was so nice. And over and above that, do you remember Ted backed a horse on Saturday night at the Hero? £10 to win?
Yes.
It came home, Truey, old boy.
At 100 to 1.
Oh, no.
Joe Jake settled up this morning. £1,000. Show him the check, Teddy.
There you are, Truey. Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, well, I'll be blowed.
Good luck never comes singly, does it, Mr. True? What do you think? Colton Utilities are opening a new branch in Australia. And Teddy's been made manager at £800 a year.
Plus expenses, old man, and commission on all turnover.
Mr. Mawson says if he works hard, he'll soon be earning thousands.
And we're sailing in a month, Truey.
Oh, good heavens.
So it looks as if we shan't have the pleasure of your society much longer, Mr. True. Ah, well, Teddykins, we must get on. We've got so much to do.
Yes, well, goodbye, Louis.
Come along, Teddykins. That stunned him, darling.
By Jove, it did.
Talk about giving himself away. He wrote that letter, all right.
Oh, yes, he wrote it.
But how can you prove it, Ted? And for that matter, how can he ever find out whether what we said isn't the truth? The uncertainty will drive him mad. He'll eat his heart out.
Absolutely. It'll just about kill him. I guess old Truey's joking days are over.
Oh, yes, Teddy, I guess they are.
And yet, Louis, when you come to think of it, we ought to be jolly grateful to him.
Good heavens, why?
Well, don't you see? If he'd never played that dirty trick on us, we'd be just where we were last Saturday.
Oh, yes. Come to think of it, so he would.
The weekend, £1,000, my new job, and they've all come, well, absolutely out of nothing. Louis, isn't it amazing? Good old True.
Oh, no.
And be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8, and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment, brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week, then, a very good night to you all.